Yeah. So this is the Dreaming Ward by Matt Sanderson. It's one of this year's even convention scenarios. I've run this a couple times. I ran it at Gen Con. This was, out of everything, by and large, this was the best experience. It just had that right combination of the right scenario with the right group of players, and it was really good. So
you are tempting fate, because now it's a different group of players.
I am. It can be totally different now.
So I agree with you 100%, Jim. When Gary said, "Does anybody have a pre-gen?" I went, "Oh, I could run the Dreaming Ward." It's a great scenario.
Yeah, so I don't remember if I've run it. I feel like I've, which is fine, I think. I don't remember.
I don't actually remember how it ends, so. I remember thinking, well, that'd be a good one to do.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there this are. Go ahead,
Matt. This isn't the one that Matt ran for us, right?
Can anybody hear me?
We can.
We can hear you.
Yes.
I remember Matt ran us through a scenario that
where
this title might make sense with.
On the Necronomicon
2017.
Was it? No. I thought
that was me. That was when I ran it.
Yeah, I thought you would run it, Edwin.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how well I remember, if anything, and I might be sort of a silent partner for part of this.
Yeah, you can always just play dumb.
Yes. Not take much.
All right, Gary. Up to you and me.
It's all pretty sweet.
Oh, God. So it's up to Gary, really, since you'll run away.
All right. So you guys can hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. We can hear you. Oh, fantastic.
Okay. More importantly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can now. I'm using a different set of headphones.
You actually sound really, really good, Gary.
Oh, cool.
Super clear.
Dreaming Ward is not posted. Doesn't mean that Matt didn't run it for you all, but it's not up.
Not up for public.
It's not in Skype of Cthulhu's website. So
either it was a playtest that was too early and hadn't been released yet, or
well, this is one of the convention games they released last year.
Right. Yeah.
I definitely have not played this.
Excellent.
It only takes one. So if everyone's okay, I'll just send out pre-gens randomly. Is that cool with everyone?
Sure.
Or?
Yeah.
Great.
Sounds okay. Good.
I will email. Let's see. So there's one for Edwin.
Could you send me the one that's a werewolf?
Spoilers. And let's see. Gary.
And this is coming by email, you said?
This is coming by email.
Great. It has arrived.
And next on the list, Maximilians. And Randall. And I hope I don't screw this up. Send two people the same one. That would be bad.
It would add to the mystery.
It would be confusing. And Sean.
Cool. I have a character.
Okay. That should be everyone. With the magic of the internet. I put notes in the Skype chat. Hopefully everyone has them.
My character doesn't have a luck score.
That's unlucky.
So,
yes, I believe none of them do. Oh. Yeah, Sean?
I was just going to say I need permission to get into the dock.
Okay.
I just requested it.
There you go. So yeah, I know I believe none of the pregens have a luck. I never quite figured out why that was. But you can just go ahead and roll for your luck.
Two. So I rolled a 12. So 60.
Which, to be fair, I'm not sure is the best way to do it. I know when I've run some of these before that, because there's a couple of convention scenarios that, for whatever reason, the pregens don't have a starting luck, and so I have everyone just roll it. And yeah, I've had people start with, "Oh, look, I have 10 luck. This is fun."
Oh, and these are not the active character sheets. These are the
Yeah.
I don't know why we always put hit points and stuff in there. It's not like we ever get into combat.
Max, Randall? Looks like, Randall, I believe you have yours. Max, did you get your?
I do. I'm printing it for my ease of use right now. Oh. And then I'll be putting the info in there in a sec. But yeah, I got it.
Ease of use. Ridiculous nonsense.
You don't know what my playing environment is, Jim. Okay.
Sure I do.
We just know that it rains coffee.
And it's standing around on a noisy rooftop.
Correct.
As you survey your domain.
Oh, yeah. The rooftop. What a great domain.
Well, I was thinking more your entire region of Santa Ana there, but if you want to limit yourself to just the rooftop, that's your own business.
I will say the new hot issue that just happened is those bird scooters started showing up.
Yep.
And people are pissed.
Yeah, those
so
things
many
generate
videos of people just lighting them on fire, breaking them, throwing them in trash cans.
Those things generate controversy everywhere they go.
Well, because they go, oh, there's no law against us using them there? Great, here's 50. We'll just drop them off.
Yep.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, Bird Graveyard, check out that Instagram. It's pretty good.
So are we ready?
Sure.
Sure.
I think so. Let's train the info of the character.
Okay. So, yes. So it is January 1926 in and around Albany, New York. And each of you, for your own reasons, you don't know each other, of course. Best introduction ever. I have taken note of a particular advertisement in the local newspaper, which is the first handout there in the notes. Someone wants to give that a read.
Suffering from nightmares? University Hospital seeks participants for dream therapy study. Successful applicants will be paid $5 a night, 3 nights with accommodation and meals provided, to participate in a study of their dreams, leading to possible treatment. Group therapy involved. Confidentiality assured. Please contact the office of Dr. Randall Thorne to arrange an appointment. University at Albany, State University of New York.
So each of you, for your own reasons, this, as I said, this has caught your attention, and you have you were interested in it. You called up the office of Dr. Randall Thorne, where you went through kind of a brief phone screening and then a follow-up phone call, and were eventually called back and said, and accepted into the study. And so you were directed to make your way to the hospital, the hospital there at the University of Albany, on a particular weekend, which you have decided to do so. Is there anything anyone wants to do before arriving to the hospital? Of course, you're all arriving separately.
No here.
Okay. That's fine. So you all arrive individually, as I said, at the hospital. The University Hospital is on the outskirts of Albany. This is January in upstate New York, so it is cold. It is snowy. The hospital itself is a kind of very large, ornate, an old manor. There's big, fancy kind of iron gates, stone wall around the grounds. And I drive through the gates, and there's a nice, long, wide driveway passing through a large, very well-maintained, although snow-covered at the moment, garden up to the lobby. And in the lobby, you would go up to the main desk, and they direct you to the east wing of the hospital. And you make your way through the hospital to the appropriate reception desk. And you are greeted by a couple administration clerks who check you in, fill out, name and address and phone number and that sort of thing. And then the five of you are there eventually in the waiting room. And you are told that Dr. Thorne will arrive shortly. If anyone wants to introduce themselves or chat with one another while you're waiting, as you're looking around. The five of you are the only ones in this particular lobby, although, generally the hospital is, sort of a normal hospital busy, but in this particular wing, this particular lobby, it's just the five of you.
I will look around. Who seems to have the highest credit rating? That's the person I would like to focus on.
Alexis definitely has
What would be the role for that?
Well,
fur coat.
Yes. Who seems to be carrying
spot
themselves?
Hidden? Spot hidden for valuables?
Who's not covered in shit? I mean,
He hasn't got shit all over him.
Someone locked a scimitar.
Sure, just make an idea roll.
That is a pass, just barely.
The highest credit rating is Alexis.
I will make sure that I sit down next to Alexis. Oh, my dear. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Yes, yes. Apparently we're all here on a weekend to address some peculiarities. Yes. Might I ask how you spend your time?
Well, you know, with important social activities and visiting friends and so forth. How about yourself?
Oh, well, I own a small antique store. Yes, in Bennington, Vermont, a lovely, lovely city. You should come and visit. I have many, many extraordinary finds.
Yes, I live in Bennington, of course, and it's a very nice city.
Oh, perhaps you've been to my store, Gregory's Antiques.
Perhaps I have. Yes, it's quite possible that we sold something off there at some point.
Bennington. I'm from Bennington.
Really?
Overhearing. Yeah. I've definitely been to your antique store.
I think I've had a look, browse through your store as well.
Well, yes. What did you buy there when you were there?
Oh, it's mostly browsing. By the way, I'm Andor.
Simon Gregory. Here's my card.
Gail. Gail Shelton.
Oh, yes. And here's my card as well. Yes.
Well, it seems like we have something in common. I'm from Bennington as well. Nice meeting you. My name is Pamela Campbell.
Miss Campbell.
I work at the Bennington Post, so maybe you have heard of me.
What is that like? Working.
Well, stressful sometimes, but it's good. I cannot complain.
Well, that's nice. Yes, that must be interesting to do. I might try that sometime.
What is it that you do?
Well, as I said, I have
she wants.
Important social activities that need doing.
The lifeblood of the community, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, I think I have seen some pictures of you on the social part of the newspaper, if I'm not mistaken.
It's quite likely, yeah. Alexis Wright.
Miss Shelton, what do you do?
Yes. I'm a writer.
Oh, what type of work do you write? I deal in many books.
Actually, that's interesting. I would have thought that maybe some of you would have recognized me due to the history on my character sheet, but that's okay. This and that. I have short stories in magazines around the country and...
Oh, that, Shelton! Oh, yes! Your work is quite good, quite good! Yes!
I've done my first novel and some historical romances. Yes. Good. Well, yes. Yes, writing is fun. I like it.
Fascinating.
Writing is fun. I like it.
The way she commands the language is amazing.
Well, she's not going to waste it all. Unless it's going onto the paper. She's got to hold some back.
Makes perfect sense. So the two people, a man and a woman, come into the area where you are waiting. The woman is dressed as a nurse. She is on the kind of short, stocky side, red hair tied back, kind of stern, severe, you know, looking professional older nurse. And with her is a tall, slender gentleman, graying hair, glasses, tweed suit, you know, pocket watch chain, waistcoat, that sort of thing. They walk in, and the gentleman introduces himself. Ah, very good to see you all here. Dr. Thorne, pleasure to meet you. This is my head nurse, Nurse Levine.
Dr. Thorne, good to see you again.
Thank you all for coming. This should be a very good weekend for everyone.
I hope so.
Before we get started, though, I do apologize for this. There's a little bit of paperwork to take care of. You must understand, of course, this is we expect the therapy to be very beneficial for each of you. This is also research. I expect to write a paper on this and have it published, and so there is a certain measure of confidentiality that must be maintained. So if each of you would just please look this over and sign it, and the nurse hands each of you a couple sheets of paper with a clipboard and a pen, and looking at it, appears to be a confidentiality agreement.
I'll take a look at it.
Well, this is what work looks like.
I'll just sign it and hand it back.
I read through it. Being a doctor myself, I read through it, make sure it's a...
I could change the names and dates enough to make it work for a book if I need to.
Those of you who
will sign it as well.
Okay. Those of you who are reading it can make a law roll.
Oh, excellent. I do not pass.
Sure you don't want to burn luck?
No, I don't have that much luck.
I rolled a 2, so I think I might actually pass my law.
Hard success.
What's base law?
5.
Yep.
Very nice. Hard success. Yeah, so the agreement is a confidentiality agreement in which you invite prosecution if you divulge information about the therapy. It's primarily worded to actually not necessarily protect the confidentiality of the study generally, but really the confidentiality and privacy of the other patients, because this is... you know, group therapy, so you're going to be learning stuff about other people, right? And with the law rule of success, this is a very standard. It's very straightforward. There's no hidden fine print or anything like that. It really is what it purports to be. You know, it's intended to protect the confidentiality first of the patients and second of the study.
Oh, this looks fine, Dr. Thorne. I do hope that we get private rooms. I see this group therapy business, but I assume we're not, you know.
Oh, yes, of course. As soon as everyone signs the agreement, and he looks kind of over at Mr. Hanshiro, still reading through it.
He signs it.
Mrs. Levine here will take you all on a tour of the ward, and you can see where you'll be staying and see the entire place. Nothing hidden. No surprises.
What a lie! By
definitely
Jim
don't
as
need
the keeper. What a
more
lie!
Surprises.
So presumably everyone signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I will have to go file this and finish off some paperwork. But as I said, Mrs. Levine will get you changed. get all your stuff stored away, and take you on a tour of the facility. I look forward to seeing you soon. We'll be starting with our first sessions before too long. And he leaves, and the nurse kind of steps forward. Thank you, doctor. If you would all come with me, please. And she leads you down to a set of changing rooms. And she hands you all a hospital gown and a box. It is a lock box. If you would please change into the hospital gowns, you can put your clothing and any possessions you have on you into these storage containers. They'll be locked away here in the storage room. She indicates a rather secure-looking locked door for the duration of your stay.
Chilly. Are we not allowed to keep our coats?
Oh, no. I'm afraid we can't allow any personal possessions into the ward. I do apologize for that, but you must understand this is a working psychiatric ward. It's for the, you know, not just it is not intended to inconvenience you, although I certainly admit it is something of an inconvenience. It is for all of us, but it's to protect the other patients. Should something get lost or stolen, we can't.
Okay.
We have to protect the patients, so. This is for their protection, is in yours as well.
Of course.
Very well.
I will change as long as the, you know, this is ladylike.
Yeah, the gowns are not flattering, but they are complete. There's nothing hanging out or.
Good.
Flopping around, and it is kept, you know, reasonably warm in the hospital, so you're not chilly or anything like that.
Okay,
I'll change.
Once everyone is changed, you kind of reconvene. Back out with Nurse Levine. She takes your boxes. She opens the door to the storage room, and you can see that, yep, this is a storage room. There are a number of boxes. They're all labeled with you know, name and birth date, and stored away under lock and key. She closes and locks the door. Ah, very good. Thank you. So I will take you on a tour of the ward in just a moment. Did we lose someone?
Ah, he's back.
We lost Sean.
Yes, so he is the one who might have hidden something away. He might need that opportunity.
Are you back, Sean?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that. I have no idea what happened.
Okay. What happened was is you gave up all your worldly possessions and changed into a hospital gown.
Yes.
I hope that's
does
okay.
Sound like me. Yeah. Oh, in character. Yes, I did that too. Okay, good.
At every opportunity. But before I take you on a tour, there are a few rules that I am afraid we must require that you each comply by. And again, this is for your own safety as well as the safety of the other patients and the staff. The first is that any instruction from a doctor, nurse, or attendant, you must obey without question and immediately. And you must understand that failure to comply with any instruction may result in forced compliance.
Wow.
I'm getting wary of this place a little bit now. We signed on for a little more than we expected.
You must not antagonize any of the other patients while you're here. If you do, you will be isolated removed from the study and removed from the hospital. While you are here, we do allow no contact with the outside world. Fortunately for the five of you, of course, you're only here for a few days. But again, this is for the sake of our patients. The therapy that we conduct here is being conducted in a very carefully controlled environment. We don't want any external stimuli or unfortunate or really any news coming in, because that could disrupt the patients as well as yourselves and the results of the study. And of course, failure to comply with any of these rules will forfeit all of your payment for the study.
Of course.
Excellent. So if you would all each like to follow me. And she will then lead you on a tour of the facility. There are three floors. On the first floor, which is kind of where you started here, near the reception desk. And your stuff is in the storeroom. You changed in the various washrooms there. She shows you the dining hall and the staff rooms over to the right there. And then leads you up the stairs, which is that big circle, to the second floor.
Okay, I will always go last because I feel vulnerable.
Fair enough. So the second floor, there are again some additional laboratories. She shows you the communal room, which is where kind of all the patients collectively hang out. The small rooms there next to the communal room, there are 12 of them, are your individual patient rooms. And you are each assigned to one of them. And the names in the other patient rooms are names that are on the door. There are five other patients that you can kind of see either laying in their rooms or in the communal room, engaged in various activities. And the nurse will lead you up to the third floor, which is thusly.
If I make eye contact, I will just smile.
Okay. So then up to the third floor, which is here, some treatment rooms, examination rooms, kind of the doctor's offices, records room, and a staff meeting room. Would everyone please make a spot hidden roll as you are on the tour?
Failed. No.
Yep, that'll be a fail for me as well.
Hard success.
Fail.
So the facility is very modern, very professional. It's the building itself is obviously quite old, but all of the the equipment and furniture and these sorts of things are very modern and very intact. The hallways and some of the rooms are a little bit dusty, and there's the occasional small cobweb in a corner, that sort of thing. But otherwise, it's reasonably clean and neat.
And did I see anything unusual?
Nope.
Cool.
Just that. The tour ends then back on the second floor in the communal area. There's a pool table at one end. The other end, there's a table and a chess set. There are a number of comfortable chairs and a couple of sofas and love seats, all kind of very well appointed.
Well, this looks lovely. I'm sure we'll be quite fine here for the next few days.
Dr. Thorne is there, and he introduces you to the other patients. Who are, they're all introduced as, you know, these are, you know, regular patients at the psychiatric hospital. These are not people directly participating in the study for which you signed up. The patients are Celia James, an attractive young woman. Emma Gill, also a young woman, perhaps in her 20s. Barry Lambert, a gentleman in his mid-30s, with somewhat untidy hair and a thick, kind of wild-looking beard. Edmund Newton, perhaps in his mid-20s. Average height, but very well built, very fit. Short, close-cropped hair, clean-shaven. And Bernard Rowe, who's in his 40s, a tall, balding gentleman with glasses and a thick mustache.
Any of them sound wealthy? Yeah, the right accent.
Idea roll? Or intelligence roll, sorry.
No.
So there you go. Hard to tell in this environment. You're a little bit out of your normal.
Cues are missing.
Yeah. This is not your normal haunt, so it's kind of hard to tell. After being introduced to the patients, you are shown to your rooms, which are, as we said, those rooms there on the second floor. You're each given one of the vacant ones. The rooms themselves are neatly but not nicely appointed. There's a bed, a chair, a wash basin, and that's about it. The doors are kind of very heavy, sturdy metal doors, you know, with the window in them. They are all open. And they say you're welcome to come and go from your room as you wish. These doors are never locked. Yourselves, obviously, because you're here for the study, and our other patients as well. There's, you know, none of our patients are or ever have been considered a danger to anyone. So we just leave the doors unlocked, and you can come and go as you wish, and use the communal area.
Yes, I visited a prison once. It was rather like this. I'm sure this will be much more pleasant.
Indeed.
And Dr. Thorne, you know, after the kind of settling you into each room, he will tell you that. Please relax and enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Dinner will be served this evening, after which you will be given an injection of our therapeutic medication, which we hope will help you each with your dreams. And then in the morning, we will have our first therapy session and see how things go from there.
And I'm sorry, doctor, but we're to wear these gowns to dinner as well?
Yes.
All right. Huh. I'm sure that will be lovely.
Yes, no need to change for dinner. We are very informal here, as you can see.
Yes. Very good.
And with that, he takes his leave. Nurse Levine kind of drifts off, wanders away. She has other work to do. And there you are.
Wow. So, be quite the adventure, I'm sure, for the next few days. Getting to know all of you and be sort of like summer camp.
Not exactly like summer camp, but I hope that we'll have some good time here.
Yes.
Yes. It's like sliding into the characters of a story.
Oh, do you write about such things?
No. Not psychiatric wards, but it's a departure from our normal lives now, isn't it?
Well, that it certainly is, yes. Which I think I'm thankful for, really.
I'm fine with it as long as it helps with the dreams.
Yes.
Have problems with dreams as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, nightmares almost every night.
I know the feeling. Yeah, that's actually why I joined the experiment, or however you want to call it, a therapy. I have very bad dreams.
Yes, well, Dr. Thorne comes highly recommended. I'm sure it's going to be very effective.
Well, he seems to know what he's doing, so I hope I can put an end to it.
Well, what types of dreams are you all having?
Well, mine was about what happened to me when I was working in the hospital. We had an explosion, and that the patients were trapped in the ward, and that keeps on reoccurring in my nightmares.
That sounds horrible. Did that actually happen?
Yes, it did.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, several patients died from the fire.
I'm sure nothing like that will happen here.
Glance around nervously now.
Yeah. I've been having very bad dreams since I was doing some assignment for the paper, and went to the Green Mountain National Forest. You all familiar with it? Mm-hmm. I was following on the James Strong case. I don't know if you read on papers. It was horrible.
Oh, yes, yes.
Some policemen were dead, and I just went, you know, standard assignment, and stayed by the lake, beautiful during summer. But after that, I started having these strange dreams about the faceless men. They look like dead after I approached them. It's kind of, I don't know, you know how dreams are. They switch. The images switch. Horrible, horrible. It's like, I don't know. I don't feel like talking about it a lot. What about you?
Well, it's strange you say that you were in the Green Mountain National Forest, because that's where my accident happened. I was there staying in a beautiful log cabin, getting some inspiration for a story I was going to set in the area. But while exploring the cabin, I was in the basement. The floor gave way, and I fell into a old mining shaft, I guess, that was running under the cabin, and my leg was broken, and I was pinned in there under rubble, and until a hunter heard me screaming, and rescued me. But as I was down there for a while and overnight, and had to fight off these large rats that kept trying to pick at me throughout the night. It was terrible. It was terrible. Terrible. Thank God the hunter heard me and came down and brought me back and saved me. But it was a very harrowing experience.
I'm sure. That sounds horrible.
Wow.
These stories are all very strange. They seem connected to your past. Mine is, I'm just on standing by a lake, and there are strange glows nearby, and something nearby, and this weird shape rises up from the lake. It's just, I wake up, I'm screaming every almost every night. It's just, but it's, I've never been to this lake. I've never seen these woods before. I've no idea where this could be.
Maybe can you describe the forest? Maybe you have seen some pictures of the Green Mountain.
Well, I'm of course aware of the forest. It's to the east of our fine city, but I don't go there myself. I don't like going outside very much. It's dirty out there. So, of course, I may have seen pictures, but nothing of this particular lake. Certainly nothing rising up from a lake. It's horrifying. Horrifying.
Well, let's have Dr. Turnkin do something about our nightmares.
Yes.
Sorry, Jim, did you say the other patients are nearby, or?
Yes. Yes, they are all there in the common room, gazing out the window, or looking at the new arrivals, or a couple of them are playing chess.
I will also try to size up the one with the most amount of money.
intelligence roll.
I pass that one as well.
So your best guess is that none of these people are particularly are rich. Certainly not to the extent of, nowhere near.
Yeah, they're browsers, yeah. Not buyers in my store.
quite possibly. But your best guess as to the richest among them, being a relative term, is going to be the oldest gentleman, who you were introduced to as Bernard Rowe.
All right. I will saunter over to Mr. Rowe and introduce myself. Yes, Simon Gregory here. Gregory's Antiques. Perhaps you've heard of me. Here's my card.
And where were you hiding that card?
Oh, right. You'll recall I was not here during the nakeding part of this scenario.
Yeah. Well, you probably just say that out of reflex and then realize.
Exactly.
Oh,
I reach around and
reaches into his gown, and
I don't have a pocket anymore that has such things, and instead will just thrust my hand forward to shake his.
Welcome, Bernard Rowe.
Excellent, excellent. And Mr. Rowe, what do you do? What do you do with yourself?
I'm here. I've been here for about a week.
Oh.
I assume you mean in the outside world. I'm the account manager at the First Bank of Albany.
Oh, that sounds interesting. A week, you say? You've been under treatment for a whole week. You're here for nightmares as well?
Insomnia, actually. Insomnia. I only recently started as the head account manager, moved up from to be the head account manager, and I'm finding it a very stressful position. The money is good, but the insomnia, not so much.
Oh, so you think it's just job related then?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the doctor's telling you to just buck up and deal with it.
Oh, no, there's the therapy has been somewhat helpful, but hopefully he'll have me cured soon and I can be out of here, and I don't want to lose my position, which I'm sure I will if I'm here for too long.
I'm sorry, which bank was that again?
First Bank of Albany.
Okay, I make a note to make sure I don't have any money there. And, yes, I guess I will engage in pleasantries with him. The weather and such.
He will chat with you. Psychology roll.
I can't imagine that's going to go well. Let's see. 28 is... I doubt I have any. Yeah, it's not. It's a fail.
Okay. He does come across as a little bit irritable during your conversation. Not the most pleasant conversation you've ever had. But he will chat with you. Obviously, there's not a whole lot else to do, so... Anyone else?
Yeah. So Celia is there, I assume.
Yep.
So I will, and I, I don't recognize either Celia James or Emma Gill, I assume.
You assume correctly.
Ah, Miss James, was it?
Yes. And you are?
I'm Alexis Wright. Of Bennington.
She just kind of looks at you. And she clearly has no idea what that means.
Right. How have things been here? What is it like?
We have our therapies and just try to recover.
What are these therapies?
Just
if I may.
Group therapy, just discussing, you know, our dreams and our thoughts and the medication and how it's affecting us and our progress. Dr. Thorne is very good. He's very helpful.
And these, the dinner, the food, is adequate?
Oh, it's about the same as it is at the university. It's.
Oh, are you a student?
Yes.
How lovely. What do you study?
Literature.
Oh, literature. Oh, you really should meet our author, Gail Shelton. I'm sure that she would love to speak to a student of literature. Gail?
Oh, yes, hello.
Have you met this young woman? She studies books.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
I'm an author myself.
And she kind of looks away. Looks back and kind of bows her head a little bit. Nice to meet you. I'm Celia.
Hi, Celia.
So what kind of literature are you into?
I study French literature.
Ah.
17th century.
Oh. So a history buff we have.
Well, there's a little bit of history that goes along with it, of course, but mostly I'm interested in the Romantics. That's what I've been studying.
Yes. Well, I think we have a lot to talk about. And I'll start talking about the romance novels and stuff that I write.
She will be interested, but a little less interested in modern pulp romance, but she will.
Well, I will definitely have the conversation with her on the similarities and things that have been gleaned from past romantic literature and used in the modern day. Yeah.
Psychology.
We'll talk about something. All right. Sure. Oh, aha, something I have. I'll burn the luck and make that a success.
Her conversation is very intelligent. She clearly knows the subject well, and she is able to discuss it intelligently and fairly thoroughly. You get the feeling that, yes, she is a intelligent young woman and a very good student. You can tell that she is quite shy. She's a very shy, retiring person. But she's definitely opens up when discussing the literature.
Perfect.
Anyone else?
Ando's just basically wandering around chatting to people, just generally chatting, not trying to get to know, but he's people, but he's also just keeps on glancing around every now and then at the room and the exits and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Just feels a little bit nervous.
Fair enough. Miss Campbell?
I'll just sit there listening to conversations, try to get to know the people, that is also here. Maybe. So, what about the Emma Gill? Is she around?
She is.
We haven't talked to her, right? So I'll approach her casually and just start some conversation with her, like, oh, hi, introduce myself, Pamela. And how long have you been here?
How long has she been here? She will introduce herself back, Emma Gill. She has been here for about a week.
No, you're not here for the Dreamland treatment, are you?
No, I've been, for dreaming treatment, yes, but I understand the five of you are here for some study that the doctor's performing.
Yes. Hopefully you will take the nightmares away. Looks like we are all having bad nightmares.
Oh, I am as well. And she shudders. Horrible night terrors. Dr. Thorne's a good man. He's doing what he can.
He helps me to talk about them. Remind me that they are just dreams. You know, they are all part of my imagination. They are not real. Has it helped you?
It's only been a week, but I think so. Yes, Dr. Thorne is definitely doing good work. He's doing what he can.
Very nice. And yeah, I will, you know, just continue talking about the place and what is there to do and whatnot.
Sure. So the conversation continues for a little while until evening, at which point one of the attendants arrives and says that it's time for dinner. You all make your way downstairs to the cafeteria, and dinner is served. It is a stew. It is fairly mediocre at best.
Well, I must eat.
I'll go and have something to eat.
And after dinner, the nurses come around with a injection for each of you. It is just a bit of a very mild sedative and a sleeping aid to help you get through the night.
What sort of sedative is it, I ask?
Make a pharmacy roll.
Do I actually have pharmacy? I do, but I don't like it.
You can spend some luck if you want to.
Yeah. 23 points of luck. Nah, I'm not using 23 points of luck.
Perfect.
They give you a name which you do not recognize.
Okay. And they're telling us it's a mild sedative?
Yes.
And she seems on the up and up, this nurse?
Yep.
Okay, I'll let her give me the injection.
It's part of the study.
Okay.
And then after that, you are all allowed to retire to your rooms. The lights are turned down. The lights are turned off in the rooms. The door is left open a bit, each of your doors, right? So you're not locked in or anything like that. The light in the corridor is left on. So there's just a little bit of light spilling into each of your rooms. As you retire to your rooms, you can see that there is a there is a table set up at the end of the corridor, at which Dr. Thorne and Nurse Levine come around. They make sure you're all doing well, settling in. Wish you a good night. If you need anything, Dr. Thorne will be here at the table. This is a desk where he will spend the evening or spend the night observing, and in case anyone needs anything, he and some of the attendants are very nearby. So,
well, perhaps I will sleep well tonight for the first time.
Yes, good night, all. Sleep well.
See you in the morning.
Oh, yes, I always wait for the morning.
See you in the morning.
And you all settle in. The beds are not particularly comfortable. They're not particularly uncomfortable, but I'm sure some of you are used to better, at least. But you are able, after some tossing and turning and fluffing of pillows and wrapping of blankets, are able to fall asleep. Would everyone make a listen roll?
I've slept so well in a long time.
42. I'll burn 2 luck and make that a success.
I've got a hard success.
And it's a hard success that we are looking for. Okay, so that changes your what you want to burn there, Max.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so only Mr. Hanshiro got a hard success?
Yes, I passed, but not a hard success.
Okay. Mr. Hanshiro.
Yeah?
At some point, you are awakened by the sound of a door creaking open, followed by footsteps in the corridor. Not loud footsteps, not a lot of footsteps, just one person walking.
I'll get up and go to my door and open out a crack and have a look.
Okay. You see, at the end of the hall, you can see Dr. Thorne sitting at his desk. And he is, you can see he is just standing up, and walking towards him is Miss James, Celia James.
Okay.
And she passes him and heads into the staircase.
And Dr. Thorne's not doing anything about it?
Dr. Thorne watches her go past, and then he follows her.
I might follow after.
Okay. Make another listen roll.
17. That's still a hard success.
Okay. Ahead of you, you can hear Celia. She's kind of, it sounds like she's kind of talking quietly, possibly to herself. She said, this isn't right. Something is wrong. And kind of at the top of the stairs, Dr. Thorne is watching her. And Cecilia walks down the stairs, and then you can hear her kind of come back up the stairs and then back down the stairs. And you can hear her counting, and she counts like to 30, and then she walks back up 10, and then down 5, and then back up 10, and then back down 5, and so forth. And eventually she reaches 70 and apparently reaches the bottom of the staircase.
Okay. Interesting. And Dr. Thorne's not doing anything about it?
He is following her. He has a clipboard in his hand and a pencil, and it appears to be taking notes. Where is it? Where is it gone? And then a few minutes. A few minutes later, she turns back and walks back up the stairs. Dr. Thorne kind of steps aside, lets her pass. She walks up and walks past you. Dr. Thorne sees you and kind of puts his finger to his lips. And as she passes you, you can hear her whispering, my friends, where are you? And she returns to the second floor and goes back into her room.
I'll just nod to the doctor, and then I'll head back into my room and go back to sleep.
And you do fall back asleep. The night passes, and I need everyone to make a sanity roll.
Okay.
No.
Fail.
Pass.
Pass. 0 for the pass, a D3 for the loss.
2.
2 as well.
You each have something of an unpleasant evening. I'm sending you each a little message here. This might take a minute.
Just a quick question. I just noticed my character sheet. I've got in the box sanity 60, circle is 48.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's correct?
The one in the box.
The current, okay. the lower one.
Yeah,
right?
your current may or may not be the your max.
Yeah.
So that's for Edwin. Maximilian, where are you? There's for Max. Campbell, Randall.
And is this coming via Skype or via...
Skype chat.
Okay.
The Skype chat. So we have to get over to the Skype messages or something.
Sean.
There we go. Chat. Jim.
Yeah.
See?
Gary's the one that is always screwed up. Let's see. Or not Gary. Mr. Hanshiro's. Which is yours here? I forget. Okay, that one. Which is... Nope, not that. This one. Apparently there was a name change at some point because there's a few typos in the scenario that still refer to what I'm assuming is either the old name and then the name on the character sheet was changed, or the name was changed and the character sheet was never caught up. So it makes it a little confusing. So as in the night, each of you suddenly find yourselves standing in the hallway. And you look around, and you can see the other four. So you can see each other. You're all four there standing in the hallway in front of your rooms. And you look back into your rooms, and you see what I just sent you.
Sorry, did you send this by Skype?
Skype chat, yeah.
So it's not in our communal chat. It's in a separate chat. It's private to you.
I'm not sure I know how to access that, but carry on, folks. Carry on.
I can email it to you if you...
That would be easier.
Okay.
Because I can see that there's two messages, but I don't understand this new Skype well enough to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass, isn't it?
It happens when you get old.
What was that, Randall? Speak louder.
Okay, there you go, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
So we're all out in the hall. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll turn around and start banging on. I'll run back in and start banging on the wall.
Run back into your room, you mean, and start?
Is this next day, or do we all wake up in the middle of the night?
This is all in the middle of the night. Mr. Hanshiro, would you make a POW roll?
Okay. 47, which is normal success.
Okay. No problem. Yep, the vision vanishes. You wake up suddenly in your bed. Clearly you were dreaming.
Okay. I will scream a little bit.
Oh, yes. I once again wake up screaming, as I have for many nights now.
Then I'll go and try to get some water in the hole or something. One step at a time. Seeing away from the walls.
As you walk away, you are screaming or running away, looking for water. You wake up in your bed. It was all a dream. And you all do. Everyone except for Mr. Hanshiro can lose a D3 sand.
Okay. Ooh, three.
As you all kind of wake up sweating, and the sheets are twisted and pulled around you, and the hospital is quiet. Just that little crack of light spilling in from the through the door. And you all hear a woman scream.
I have to go investigate that. Yes. Yeah.
And the scream continues.
Where's it coming from?
It is coming from Celia's room.
Oh. Well, I have to go check on my new friend.
Yeah, I will knock on the door.
Dr. Thorne.
Is Dr. Thorne around?
He is not.
With a nurse? Anybody?
Celia?
You push the door open. And Celia is there. The room is similar to your rooms. except that Celia is strapped down onto the bed in 4-point restraints.
Oh,
and standing over here is what appears to be a nurse wearing a nurse's uniform. Except this strange nurse has 4 legs and 4 arms. And 2 of the arms are holding saws, and 1 of the arms is holding a scalpel, and the last one is holding a syringe. And she makes a quick swipe with one of the saws and removes Cecilia's head and holds it up and turns around and looks at you. And the face of the nurse is this horrible insect face with dozens of eyes and a wide mouth of needle-sharp teeth, and it smiles at you. Most satisfactory. Next patient, please. And you can all make a sand.
And run away.
Yeah. So screaming.
I found that one, sir.
Oh, I made that one.
Sand is a pass.
Pass.
1 point for the pass. A D4 for anyone who failed.
And I lose 4.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm running away. Running away.
Thank you.
And as you turn and run, you can hear kind of a roaring noise or a ripping noise, like something is tearing through a wall. And then you wake up in your bed.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but quick question. Did we see the others when we were, going to Celia's room?
You did indeed.
So thinking that I was just dreaming, I will just again get on the hole and look for water.
It is just morning. The sun is just kind of beginning to rise at this point. And you can certainly make your way down to the washroom to get some water.
I'll get up and start looking around to see if there's anybody else around out.
Yes. It's going to be me around.
Oh, I just had this weirdest dream.
Oh, me too. I'm getting some water. Maybe the medication is not working as the doctor expected. But strange, nightmares have kind of changed.
Weird creature was attacking Celia.
What? That's exactly the same dream I was having. Let's go and check on her.
Yeah, we'll head to Celia's room, knock on her door.
She is there. She looks rather agitated and uncomfortable. And she said, I don't feel like talking right now.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. You can all make spot hidden rolls.
Spot luck. A hard success.
So in your own rooms and kind of on the way to the washrooms and in Cecilia's rooms and just kind of generally, you noticed that the hospital was a little dusty and there were some cobwebs and that sort of thing before. You're fairly certain that this morning there are slightly more cobwebs than there were. And there are some small spiders scuttling around in a few of the cobwebs.
How long have we been sleeping?
Well, we went to sleep last night. Now it's got some sort of infectation here. The spiders look around. I'll try to, clean the as much as I can. On the way to my room, let's get back to bed. I can't sleep one more hour, I guess, before we all gather again.
I don't want to sleep anymore at all. Horrible.
Neither do I. I think I'm going to head into the communal room, but I'm not going to sleep.
No problem.
Is there some staff around?
There is. There is an attendant. He tells you breakfast will be served shortly, after which Dr. Thorne will meet with you for your first group therapy session.
I will complain about the spiders.
I get another robe, something to put on. It's so chilly in here.
Yes, of course. See what I can do.
Thank you.
After a little bit, you're called to breakfast.
So I will continue talking to Henshu about the dream. So, Mr. Henshu, so you saw the nurse and she was decapitating poor Cecil. She wants some straps on the bed. Is that exactly the same dream?
Yeah, that's the dream.
That's completely unusual, wouldn't you say?
Hey. Yeah, it's very unusual. Hey, do you see some of the others, like Simon or?
Yes, so Simon has come out as well. He is, this is a little bit more, he's sort of become used to these dreams, but he is, he's going to pick up a newspaper or magazine and try to brush away some of the cobwebs. It doesn't, probably isn't helping very much, but it feels like he's being useful.
You are certainly able to do so.
Simon, did you have a weird dream last night about Celia?
Hold on a minute. I need to roll on this one. I had a dream last night. Celia was involved, yes. Nothing untoward, I assure you.
So you didn't see a four eight-legged creature attacking her?
All right, I'm going to do a sanity roll here.
Well, I definitely saw it. I saw you there as well, and you.
Yeah, I saw you guys there. We already went to check on Celia. She's fine, but it looked very real, felt very real to be just a nightmare. And it doesn't make sense that we all had it. You should speak with Dr. Thurn.
The attendant will call you all to breakfast, which is a warm, if somewhat runny, porridge.
Mm. That's what's giving us the nightmares.
At breakfast, you can all make another spot hidden roll.
Wordy, normal success.
91. Cobwebs.
I got a critical success.
Yep. More cobwebs. I mean, not a whole lot, right? It's not like the place is infested. There's just certainly more than there were last night. And as you're kind of looking around and taking notice of these, Emma Gill looks up and she sees them and she just screams in terror. And she backs into one of the corners and a particularly kind of under a particularly large cobweb with a particularly larger spider, perhaps the size of a nickel, falls out of the cobweb right into her dress. And she just completely loses it. She just starts screaming, tearing at her dress, tearing at her hair. And the attendants kind of tackle her and sedate her. And Dr. Thorne comes over and shakes his head. Oh, poor Emma. Take her to her room. Keep her sedated for a while. And the attendants take her away. Very sorry about that. She has a particular case of arachnophobia, I'm afraid.
Well, doctor, if you don't mind me saying, you should. If that is the case, you should do some better work of keeping the spiders away from this building. Seems like there's an infection here.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Infectation. Sorry.
And he kind of notes to a couple of the tenants, please go around and make sure you.
It's horrible.
Sweep down all the corners. This is getting out of control.
We need to talk to you as well. We had a horrible nightmare last night. The therapy is not helping. It was a sure nightmare.
Yes. We will, as soon as everyone is done with breakfast, we'll have our first group therapy session. And I would very much looking forward to hearing what you each encountered.
I'm done with breakfast. She says, looking down at a half full bowl of porridge.
Same here, I'm finished.
No, I don't even know if I ate that much, so yes.
So after breakfast, everyone is invited upstairs to the meeting room. The five of you, along with the other patients, except for Miss Gill, are there, chairs around a circle, and Dr. Thorne is there, Well, so I understand. I know there was definitely some activity in the night. And he looks at Mr. Lambert, Barry Lambert, who is the gentleman in his 30s. Why don't you start, Mr. Lambert? What did you experience last night? Oh, well, I definitely had a nightmare. I remember wandering around a deserted castle during a thunderstorm. I could hear a clock, but it was just chiming midnight over and over again, and there were beasts in the castle, and they were stalking through the corridors, horrible, monstrous things. I couldn't see them, but I could just see their silhouettes flickering in the torchlight. Oh, well, this is fascinating, Barry. This very clearly, this is a collection of images from the Gothic fiction which you love. Had you been reading or thinking about such stories before you fell asleep? But yes, I was. That must be what it is. And then Dr. Thorne looks to Mr. Rowe. Bernard, why don't you go next? Well, yes, I had a nightmare too. I dreamed I was at my desk in the office, and my inbox was just filling up, and it was filling up. It was just like a wave of paper filling up the tray, and it started overflowing, and the paper just kept coming and coming, and I was being buried alive in this paperwork coming from nowhere, and the walls started closing in, and the paper was crushing me. Oh, well, this is good. This is a very clear manifestation of the stress that you've been under at work. And he looks to Miss Wright. Alexis, would you care to go next?
Of course. Yes, I had my usual dream of it's my fiance. And the water. I think I told you about it. And then there was something else, though. There was some new dream with everybody, with Celia and Mr. Henshiro and Miss Campbell and Shelton and Gregory. You were there, I think. It was. I don't quite know how to describe it.
I had the same dream.
Really?
You had the same dream.
Yes.
Really, Mr. Hunter?
We all did. We all did.
Well, it was more like a dream within a dream. I had a dream at first where I was looking at a tunnel and there was a light, and something bad was going to happen. I could tell for sure, but then the rats they started rushing forward, and I woke up.
I didn't have any rats in my dream.
But when I woke up, I heard a scream and from Celia's room, and made my way there, and I saw the others there, and some creature with four arms and cut off her head, and it was terrible. And then I woke up again, and I was actually awake.
As you say that, you can see Cecilia start shuddering, and she shakes her head. No, I can't. And I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to my room. And she kind of wraps her arms tightly around her, head bowed, walks quickly out of the room. Yes, of course, Cecilia. Please, please. I'll be in to check on you shortly.
How are we having the same dreams?
Well, it's... Well,
the second part.
It's a rare phenomenon, but it has been recorded before. This is absolutely fascinating. We will definitely need to spend some time to get to the bottom of this and try to figure out what that imagery means. So all five of you had the same shared experience.
So, Jim, I don't have much in it, but I'd still like to roll to figure out, do I think he's interested in this scientifically? Do I feel... I'm trying to get his general mood here.
Psychology.
You know what? I'm going to burn 12 points to make that a success.
Sincere scientific interest.
Thank you.
I'm glad we're of such interest to you, Dr. Thorne, but you will be trying to help us.
Yes, yes. I need to do a little research this morning, and we will have another group therapy session this afternoon. And hopefully we can start to get to the bottom of some of this. This is quite remarkable.
Why do it look seem to be lots of spiders around now? A lot more than there were yesterday.
Well, it is an old building. It is winter. Yeah, the bugs do tend to come in, trying to get in out of the cold. But we'll definitely be going around and. You're right. It has gotten a little out of hand. We'll have some of the attendants clean the place up a little bit, and we'll get them cleaned out.
And perhaps if you could make it warmer in here, too. Seems so chilly.
An attendant will bring you a second... a gown to put on.
Thank you.
We'll be sure to turn up the heat in the common room. It should be nice and warm in there for you.
Oh, excellent.
And Dr. Thorne will excuse himself and say, "Please try to rest up and." Enjoy the rest of the morning, and we will meet again this afternoon.
Well, wasn't too much to that after he leaves.
The other patients will drift off, wander away.
I can't hear, just start feeling better, but this is not helping.
I agree.
It's only been one night. I mean, it's only been one night, but the dream was way much stronger.
It's definitely one night worse, yes. But we'll see what we can do. I'm sure tomorrow will be better. Maybe this afternoon even. Perhaps some pool?
Yes, why not? Let's have a game of pool.
Very good.
I wonder if someone should go and see how Cecilia's doing.
I'll go see her. Maybe talking about some books will get her mind off of what happened last night.
Excellent. Excellent, Miss Shelton. I think
something happened to her last night, too?
I mean, it was just a dream. From her reaction.
But, I mean, it was just a dream.
Her reaction to us talking about the dream it sounds like she may have experienced it as well.
Perhaps, yes. Well, Mr. Hanshiros, yes, some pool would be excellent. I think that will take my mind off this nicely.
Yeah, pool sounds good. We'll head up and play the pool.
Okay. You are able to do so. Some of you were going to look in on Celia?
Yes.
You find her in her room. She's kind of curled up on her bed.
Celia, are you all right, my dear? I didn't mean to cause you any grief.
No, of course not, Miss Shelton. Thank you. I just need to be alone for a little while, some peace and quiet.
Oh, but very well then. If you need to talk, I'm more than happy to talk.
Thank you.
I guess I'll leave her alone then.
Yeah, she doesn't really want to talk.
Then I will head over to the billiards table to watch the game.
Fair enough.
Sadly, my pool skill is not on the sheet. I'm sure it's quite high, though.
The day passes. Beyond a few rousing games of billiards, is there anything in particular that anyone would like to do?
So how much of the facilities can we wander around? I mean, can we wander around anywhere in the three floors that we know of?
Yes.
All right. Well, and I would like to wander around, chat up some of the staff as there, and just try to find out what they can do about this terrible spider problem.
You find a couple of them with brooms. They are sweeping the cobwebs out of the corners. We're working on it. We're working on it.
How long has this been going on? This is incredible.
Well, it is winter. Spiders like to come in from the cold, and it is an old house. I'm sure there's plenty more hidden in the cracks and in the foundations and in the attic and wherever.
Instilling confidence.
Right. Much better, thank you.
Don't worry, you won't run out of spiders. It'll be fine.
And I'm going to also try to, if you want me to charm or whatever, I don't know how much I have that, just try to find out, do they enjoy working here? Has there been anything unusual lately? Just trying to get the local news of the day of the facility.
They will engage in light conversation with you. Nothing particularly, strange or unusual. It's a job. A couple of the attendants have worked at, some other hospitals or in other facilities, and they generally seem to have a good opinion of Dr. Thorne. They like working for him. They think he's doing good work.
All right. Well, that sounds fine. Yeah, that's all I'm doing during the afternoon or whenever the next session begins.
Okay, anyone else?
Do they have, a library or a bookshelf or something for the patients to browse or read or whatnot?
Yes.
I'm going to have a look at what titles they have.
They have a number of Dimestorm novels and some of the classics. And that's about it.
Okay.
Nothing. I will look disappointed during the whole time, and no, and you know, you said the doctor's room is on the first floor, not the doctor's room, more like the doctor's office.
Doctor's office is on the third floor.
Third. Okay, I'll go to the third floor. Just go around, see how many people are there.
There are a couple attendants who are sweeping cobwebs out. There is Mr. Gregory, who is chatting up the attendants. And that's about it.
Okay. So where is Gregory talking to the attendants? I'm trying to get closer to Dr. Thorne's office and noticed.
They're all by the stairwell. As you pass.
Okay. I'll go there. As if I'm, you know, looking through the examination rooms and whatnot.
Yep.
And try the door.
The door to Dr. Thorne's office is locked.
Okay.
Oh, the dilemmas.
Yeah. All right. I'll wait for tonight.
When he's awake.
Yes.
Did Dr. Thorne seem? Did Dr. Thorne seem particularly groggy this morning? Because he was up all night, and then presumably he's now going to sleep or something. But he was up yesterday, too. Like, does he seem like he's running out of sleep?
Psychology roll?
He's probably got a healthy supply of barbiturates.
That is not a success, despite... Yeah, nope.
Hard to tell.
Okay.
Let's see. I will approach... I'll approach Shelton.
Okay.
Shelton.
Yes. How are you doing today?
Not very well because of the nightmares. You are a writer, right? So you have done a lot of research in for your books. So, sure. As I mentioned before, I work at the newspaper, and I'm finding all these very strange. I don't know about you.
Yes, I can't see how someone wouldn't find this strange. Shared dreams usually don't happen.
You know, we sign up all those documents, and I understand. You know, this is what I'm about to ask you. It's kind of risky. But I feel like I would like to check what the doctor has to ask, at least me personally, and what medication am I being given?
Yes, I mean, it could be interesting to find out.
All right. But...
I doubt that'll be easy.
Well, it's not that easy because I'm not planning to ask him directly. I wanted to take a look at documents in his office, if you know what I mean.
Oh, do a little bit of snooping?
Yes. But okay. The door seems to be locked. I wonder if, you know, just... we should find something, see if we can open it, or if we'll, you know, if you would like to help me.
Oh, well, I wish. I don't know how to do anything about that.
Who could?
Well, maybe Mr. Gregory? He seems like he's works with antiques and things. Maybe he's had to open some sort of old desks or something like that. He might know how to shimmy a lock.
Well, let's talk to him and see how he takes it.
Exciting. Yes, let's.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I will kind of give him the same shot that I gave Chilton. So we were wondering if you don't find it unusual, and if you would like to help us, or what's your opinion? I find all these dreams, shared dreams, experiences very strange, and I believe we're being given something that is very illegal, if you ask me. And this infestation of spiders, you know, it's not helping. These are not the conditions that I signed up for.
Well, I'd be happy to take my hand at the lock, but could never turn down a young woman like yourself. But I don't think I'll be going into the office itself. That would be.
No, that's fine. If you can just open it for me, I will step in.
All right. Just why don't you distract the nurse if she's around, and I'll take a hand at the lock.
Okay. Is the nurse around? All alone.
There is no nurse around in the hallway. But Dr. Thorne's secretary, Miss Baker, is in her office next door to Dr. Thorne's office.
Okay, so I will go and talk to her.
Yes, can I help you, yes. Miss Campbell? Dr. Thorne is out for the afternoon.
I'm sorry, this is a private conversation. I will close the door behind me. Do you have 5 minutes?
Oh, of course. When you're in Miss Baker's office, you can see, as you can see on the map, there is a door from her office to Dr. Thorne's office as well.
Okay. Oh, okay. Very good. It's about the dreams we had last night. Is this something common, Miss Baker?
I know Dr. Thorne said that shared dreams like this are very rare. I'm not a medical professional. I'm sorry, and I don't really know. I just handle the administrative work for Dr. Thorne.
Okay. So I will keep talking to her for about 5 minutes. You know, telling her how stressful this whole situation is for me and all that.
Sure. Mr. Gregory?
I pull out my lock. Oh, wait. I don't have any sort of lock pick. I assume I will have to find a paperclip or something lying around, maybe in the record storage room or something of that sort. That's not... Yeah. I mean, is there something I could find that I can use as a lock pick?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you'll have picked up something on your way. That's not a concern.
All right, let's see how we do here. I will burn 3 luck and have a success.
You are able to unlock the door.
Great. So now I'm forced to go search. Okay. Yeah, okay, I guess. Just keep an eye out, Mr. Gregory. I'll look really quick. And that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. The office is an office. or at least is being used as an office now. A lot of the furniture in here is very period, a couple hundred years old, very ornate, fancy, including the desk. The books are, there are a couple windows which have a very nice view of the gardens, which you imagine would probably be very lovely in the springtime and the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The walls are lined with bookcases of what appear to be mostly medical textbooks. There is a filing cabinet behind the desk, and on the desk there is a large leather-bound journal.
Oh, well, I'm going to have a look at that journal.
This appears to be Dr. Thorne's journal. He has a number of notes on patients and...
How big is it?
Their dreams. Big enough that if you want to, you know, get anything comprehensive out of it, it's going to take you a little while.
Okay, then I will take it.
Okay. Take it and leave?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best plan. Because if I stay in there and try and read it, I'm going to get caught. And it doesn't seem like Dr. Thorne's around anyway, so... Perfect. Take it and head out.
Fair enough.
I've got something, Mr. Gregory. We should go have a look.
To where are you taking it?
I'd just say to one of our rooms. So that way we can kind of, you know, close the door and look at it without other people prying.
Okay. Presumably, Miss Campbell will join you after a few minutes.
Yes, I will, you know, distract her a little bit more, and then, you know, I will thank her for all her time, close the door behind me, see that there's no one there at Dr. Thorne's office, and then I'll try to find him.
Okay, you eventually do find your compatriots, Miss Shelton and Mr. Gregory, in one or another of their rooms, looking through the journal, and there is a handout.
Okay.
Oh, well done, well done.
Wow. Go ahead.
No, I was just turned off the mute so that I could sneeze and then turn mute back on. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right, so we've got handout, Thorne's journal. Dr. Thorne's journal consists of notes from his interviews with patients who are referred to by single initials rather than their full names. Following are excerpts of the most common imagery appearing in multiple accounts. A long tunneled stairway that descends into darkness. Two priest-like figures in Egyptian-style attire stood in a rocky cave in front of a pillar of purple flame, which reaches from floor to ceiling. A forest of oak trees, the boughs are intertwined so that little light reaches the ground. Glowing fungi illuminates the twilight. Ruins of a long-dead city stand on the shore of a dead lake in a desert. Enormous pillars rising high out of a mighty ocean. Beyond them, the ocean falls into oblivion, forming a gigantic waterfall. Shepherds guiding flocks on flat fields. A gray mountain range stands on the far horizon. From between two peaks, a shaft of blue light shoots up into the dark sky. A Middle Eastern city has wide streets paved in onyx and lined by whitewashed clay buildings topped by the bronze minarets. Underground. The floor of a vast cavern is littered with countless bones as far as the eye can see.
And I think that's a good place to call it for today.
Very good.
Excellent.
Very interesting.
We'll all have a lot of to talk about the start of next session. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'll go ahead and share this because it has nothing to do with the scenario. It's not a spoiler for anything. I don't know if you guys recognized it or not, but all of your dreams. This
have something to do with this.
Well, sort of. But one of the things that I kind of liked about this scenario is there is a common link, and it's the scenario amongst the ancient trees. I don't know if any of you guys recognized that or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I definitely recognize the name.
It was kind of like a sequel to
amongst the ancient trees, yeah.
Which we played, I haven't done that.
Yeah,
or at least some of us have.
There you go.
It was the 7E playtest. So cool.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. All right.
Are we on tomorrow, Randall?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Cool.
Sweet deal.
Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Have a good day.
Have a good night.
Bye.